Hello, ahlan wa sahlan, and welcome to another episode of Arab Voices, coming to you from the studios of KPFT Houston since 2002, Houston's community station 90.1 FM. This is Saeed, executive producer and host of Arab Voices. This show is syndicated and it airs on other radio stations in different states in the U.S. Today on Arab Voices, I will be talking about the outrageous designation of six Palestinian non-governmental organizations, civil society organizations, as terrorist organizations by apartheid Israel. But before we do that, I'd like to ask for your support and contributions to KPFT, this unique commercial-free Houston's community station, because KPFT is currently in membership drive, and that is a great opportunity to upgrade your listenership to listener sponsor. Become a member of the KPFT family. Most of you know that KPFT is mostly financed by listeners like you, and it does not rely on the corporate world to operate. So please give us a call at 713-526-5738 and make that tax-deductible contribution to support your community radio station. You can also make a pledge online at kpft.org. This station, KPFT, is unique in so many ways. It offers a diverse range of programming, like this program, Arab Voices, that has been on KPFT for over 19 years. Hundreds of topics and over 1,000 expert guests appearing on this program from around the globe. So if you appreciate what this station has been doing, I ask you to support it and keep Arab Voices and other programs on the air. Please make that call and make a pledge of any amount. Call 713-526-5738 or make a pledge online at kpft.org. Your support is greatly appreciated. On October 19, 2021, apartheid Israel declared in a military order that six prominent Palestinian non-governmental organizations as terrorist organizations. Israel cited a 2016 anti-Palestinian terror legislation, accusing the organizations of being affiliated with the Popular Front for the Liberation of Palestine, which Israel considers a terrorist organization. With the classification of these six organizations as terrorist organizations, Israel will then shut down their offices, arrest their staff, prohibit funding, and seize their assets. These organizations are Ad-Damir, Al-Haq, Defense for Children International Palestine, Union of Agricultural Work Committees, Bisan Center for Research and Development, and the Union of Palestinian Women Committees. So what do these six organizations do to make them earn that classification of being terrorists by apartheid Israel? Well, let me tell you a little about these world-renowned organizations. Ad-Damir Prisoner Support and Human Rights Association is a Palestinian non-governmental civil institution that works to support Palestinian political prisoners held in Israeli and Palestinian prisons. It was established in 1991. Ad-Damir offers free legal aid to political prisoners, advocates their rights at the national and international level, and works to end torture and other violations of prisoners' rights through monitoring, legal procedures, and solidarity campaigns. Because of this work, Ad-Damir is declared a terrorist organization by apartheid Israel. Al-Haq is an independent Palestinian non-governmental human rights organization. It was established in 1979 to protect and promote human rights and the rule of law in the occupied Palestinian territory. Al-Haq has special consultative status with the United Nations Economic and Social Council. It documents violations of the individual and collective rights of Palestinians, irrespective of the identity of the perpetrator, and seeks to end such breaches by way of advocacy before national and international mechanisms and by holding the violators accountable. Because of this work, Al-Haq is declared a terrorist organization by apartheid Israel. Defense for Children International Palestine is an independent local Palestinian child rights organization dedicated to defending and promoting the rights of children living in the West Bank, East Jerusalem, and the Gaza Strip. Since 1991, Defense for Children International Palestine has investigated, documented, and exposed grave human rights violations against children, provided legal services to children in urgent need, held Israeli and Palestinian authorities accountable to universal human rights principles, and advocated at the international and national levels to advance access to justice and protection for children. Because of this work, Defense for Children International Palestine is declared a terrorist organization by apartheid Israel. The Union of Agricultural Work Committees is a non-governmental agricultural organization. It is considered as one of the largest agricultural development institutions in Palestine, established in 1986. And it sets priorities of farmers and help the union in implementing its programs and community activities. Because of this work, the Union of Agricultural Work Committees is declared a terrorist organization by apartheid Israel. BSAN Center for Research and Development is an active civil society non-governmental organization established in 1989. The organization seeks to enhance Palestinians' resilience and to contribute in building an effective democratic civil society. Because of its work, BSAN Center for Research and Development is declared a terrorist organization by apartheid Israel. The Union of Palestinian Women's Committees was founded in 1980. It aims to empower Palestinian women on all levels and to contribute in the Palestinian national struggle against the Israeli military illegal occupation of the Palestinian territories. Because of this work, the Union of Palestinian Women's Committees is declared a terrorist organization by apartheid Israel. The decision by apartheid Israel to label these six organizations as terrorist organizations was faced with worldwide condemnation and a call on apartheid Israel to rescind this outrageous decision. I will share with you some of the reactions from various groups and congresspeople later this hour, and I will also air a portion of the press conference held by these six organizations with their reaction to apartheid Israel's decision. By the way, apartheid Israel has been targeting many of these non-governmental organizations over the years, raiding their offices, vandalizing them, stealing their computers and files, arresting their staff, and harassing them. Earlier this month, on October 4, 2021, the Cairo Institute for Human Rights Studies held a side event titled "Palestine Restricting Civic Space: Urgent Response Needed to Address Israel's Escalation of Attacks on Palestinian Human Rights Defenders." I will air some of the remarks delivered at that event by Palestinian human rights defenders from three of the six organizations labeled as terror organizations by Israel, and also air the remarks by Special Rapporteur Michael Link. We will begin with Haya Omari with Al-Haq organization.
In recent years, as we know, we have been witnessing a mounting recognition of the apartheid system established and maintained by Israel over the Palestinian people, from states to UN treaty bodies, including Committee on the Elimination of Racial Discrimination, UN Special Procedures, who warned in the following Israel's plan to annex parts of the West Bank that this could be a crystallization of an already unjust reality of two people living in the same space, ruled by the same state, but with profoundly unequal rights. Now, this has been the fruits of Palestinian civil society's labor for over a decade now. However, at the cost of this mounting recognition comes mounting Israeli suppression and intimidation against Palestinian human rights defenders, civil society organizations, and really anyone who attempts to challenge its apartheid regime. As a result of their work for the realization of Palestinian people's rights and attempting to challenge Israel's prolonged occupation, abuse of human rights, and apartheid regime, Israel has been employing a myriad of measures in order to suppress their activities. Those measures would include death threats, deportation, such as in the case of the human rights watch Rama Shakir, punitive residency, revocation for so-called breach of allegiance for the state of Israel, such as in the case of Salah Hamouri, a Demir lawyer, travel bans, such as that imposed on Laith Abu Zayyad, a campaigner with Amnesty International, and smear campaigns in the form of character assassination and defamation. Also the targeting of civil society funding sources. Now, all these measures, they aim to create an environment of fear and intimidation that would deter human rights defenders from carrying out their work. Not only that, but Israel is also using tools to criminalize and discredit human rights defenders' work, including, as mentioned, through raiding civil society offices and confiscating files and equipment, closing off civil society headquarters by virtue of arbitrary military orders, such as the cases of health work committees and the agricultural work committees. The branding of Palestinian human rights as terrorists and using that as ground to arbitrarily arrest them and detain them, such as the case of the 60-year-old executive director of health work committees, Ms. Shada Oude. Now, legally speaking, the silencing and hindering of human rights defenders' work violates their fundamental human rights of expression, opinion, peaceful assembly, association, and in some cases, their right to movement. Which Israel has committed to uphold through the ratification of the two 1966 international covenants. Further, the UN Declaration on Human Rights Defenders recognizes the key role played by human rights defenders in the realization of human rights. As enshrined in the declaration, the right to the freedom of association, freedom of peaceful assembly, of opinion, of expression, the right to gain access to information, to provide legal aid, to develop and discuss new ideas in the area of human rights, to solicit, receive, and utilize resources are instrumental for the work of human rights defenders and for the defense of human rights, without which violations will continue with impunity. The declaration also imposes on states the duty to take all necessary measures in order to protect everyone from violence, threats, retaliation, and adverse discrimination when it comes to a legitimate exercise of their rights. More specifically, and when it comes to the regime of apartheid, under Article 2, Paragraph F of the Apartheid Convention, the persecution of organizations and persons by depriving them of fundamental rights and freedoms because they oppose apartheid is an element of the crime of apartheid. The Rome Statute covers such acts also under the intention to maintain the regime. And this is evident in all policies and measures outlined that Israel has always silenced and suppressed any effort to oppose and resist its settler colonial and apartheid regime. The measures taken by Israel to suppress and criminalize human rights defenders' work exemplify an ongoing and systematic attack against Palestinian civil society actors. There are retaliatory measures taken to punish human rights defenders for their work, and they have a chilling effect on all human rights defenders. The message behind these measures is quite clear. Anyone who dares to speak out about Israeli human rights violations in Israel and the occupied Palestinian territory risks coming under attack. For example, Palestinian human rights defenders working towards achieving justice and accountability for Israeli crimes through the ICC have particularly been targeted by Israeli government-led smear campaigns, including in the form of death threats, such as the case of Ms. Nadeka Swanson, a former legal researcher at Al-Haq. These harmful attacks against Palestinian human rights defenders and civil society organizations seriously hamper the indispensable work carried out by them, especially those providing services to most marginalized Palestinian communities most affected by Israel's discriminatory policies and practices, including child prisoners and communities in Area C. The shrinking civic space we are witnessing is intensifying following an increased Israeli crackdown on all Palestinians during the Unity Uprising last May of this year, in the West Bank, in Jerusalem, inside the Green Line, in the Gaza Strip, which means that the work of human rights defenders and civil society organizations is even more crucial. And more importantly, so is the protection of their rights against threats, intimidation, and restrictions. Following the Unity Uprising, the Human Rights Council decided to establish a commission of inquiry to investigate all underlying root causes of recurrent tensions, instability, protraction of conflict, including the systematic discrimination and repression based on national, ethnic, racial, or religious identity. It's also called on civil society to cooperate with the Commission of Inquiry and to provide it with any information or documentation it may possess. Now, Israel's intensified attack on human rights defenders would also impede and hamper that. I end with this. The continuous lack of accountability for Israeli violations and crimes under international law and the lack of providing the affected Palestinian population with fair and effective remedy, the prolonged denial of Palestinian people's right to self-determination and to return, and their ongoing subjugation to an apartheid regime, constitute the foundation of the Palestinian struggle in terms of root causes. And to top it all off with attacking human rights defenders is a blatant determination on Israel's side to continue its record of human rights abuses and commission of international crime away from the eyes of international community and without any kind of criticism. The intensified shrinking civic space also means that the international community has once again failed to effectively challenge Israeli violations.
That was Haya Omari with Al-Haq organization. Next, we will listen to the remarks of Khalid Kuzmar with Defense for Children International Palestine.
The environment for civil society organizations, for human rights organizations in Palestine, I can say that we are living under a unique situation. We are living under two jurisdictions, one of the Israeli military jurisdiction and the civil Israeli jurisdiction. So all the organizations who are working in the field of human rights are subject to different attacks, regardless who they are, like Palestinian human rights organization, Israeli human rights organizations, and also the international human rights organizations. It's any organization try to expose the Israeli policies against the Palestinians in the West Bank, in East Jerusalem, in Gaza, even inside Israel, are subject to different kind of attacks. And maybe I take an example what happened with DCI. DCI, this year we are celebrating the 30th anniversary of DCI. We started working with children in Israeli detention, giving services. And we managed to work for more than 10 years without any kind of attacks or criticism because we used to focus on the services level. But when we start to feel or to reach a point that we started to work with, let's say, about 200 child detained in Israeli detention, and the number will become more increased and increase, the violation increasing. So we reach a point that it's difficult to continue working and it is wasting time and wasting money because we believe that crimes are continuous and without focusing on the accountability or on the advocacy side, things will never change. Since we start to work in the advocacy level, in the international level, we start to face some attacks from Zionist right-wing groups in Israel and outside in Britain, in the UK, wherever, and also from the Israeli Ministry of Strategic Affairs and Ministry of Foreign Affairs. But the increasing of the attacks started after we created a working station in the US, and we start to target the Congress and to raise the issue of the Palestinian children and the violation against the children in the Congress itself, and some initiatives to draft a bill and to try to deprive, to work in order to deprive the Israel from using the fund in torturing children, and later on we expanded to land confiscation and settlements and others. So from that point, we received, and I mainly in 2015, 16, different kind of attacks. They targeted all our partners around the world. They took our annual report and they start to send the same letter and the same accusation. They use it since 2014 until now. They say they used to have the same accusation without any facts, just using names, throwing names, and linking to terror, what they call it, terrorist organizations and terror. And threatening the partners that if you continue working with DCI, we will prosecute you. So they targeted the partners, they targeted the donors, they targeted the banks that we are working with, they targeted even the audit company, which is PricewaterhouseCoopers. So through our communication with our partners, some of them, they ask for some questions, clarifications, and we provide them with all information that they need. No one of our partners accept the accusation, and they continued the support and working with DCI. The same with the banks, and also the same with the audit company. But the audit company was prosecuted. They filed UK Lawyers for Israel, they file a complaint against the Pricewaterhouse company because their work with DCI and with agriculture committee, work committee. So I can just today receive the answer about the complaint that they raised against Pricewaterhouse. A company that after investigation for more than 4 years, they refused to accept the complaint that UK Lawyers filed against them. And I can say that they win the case. The same in DCI, we try to prosecute them in the UK, and we start the communication with the lawyers and exchange letters with them, with the Pillars for Israel. But when we face that there is a problem to continue the case in the UK because we are a foreigner organization, and then we have to put in the account of the court amount of £500,000, then we ask our lawyers to try to find a way to settle the case. And then we reach a settlement to ask them to put in their website that we used to attack this organization for the link with terrorist organization, and now we can say that we have no problem with this organization and the structure or the staff of the organization. So I'm sure that all the allegation or the accusation against the civil society organization, the human rights organization, among them DCI, is fake news and information, and they have nothing against us except they want to silence us because we start to talk publicly about in public about their crimes and asking for accountability. I believe this time we managed to silence UK Lawyers for Israel, but of course the attacks will continue from other Zionist right groups. But the escalation happened against DCI is in 2 months ago, on 27th of July 2021, when they raided our office without any kind of notification, without any information, without anything. They broke the door and they confiscate 8 computers from the office and some documents for the files of the children that we are dealing with or representing them in the Israeli military courts. The only way to challenge such policy, because we are living under occupation, is to go to the Israeli military court system. So we file a complaint. It took about 3 weeks until they respond to us that, yes, because no notification. So we asked them who raided the office. So the answer was the Israeli army, because they have information that there is materials which used in a terror attack, or maybe will use, and or maybe will use with other terrorist organization. So it's they throw the accusation, general accusation against DCI without any facts. So we ask the court to force the army to return back the computers and the information, the documents that they took, because it is for the work of the organization, and no one allowed to see even this information. Until now, no answer except the decision two weeks ago, and according to the Israeli military law, the court decided to give them 6 months to continue the investigation for the materials they took from the office. And after the 6 months, they can open a criminal investigation against the DCI, or they can ask for an extension for another 6 months. It's like the administrative detention against individuals, against the Palestinians that they are using since years, since the occupation until now. There are hundreds of tens of thousands of Palestinians subject to such kind of arrest. And now they are doing it against the organizations. So I believe these attacks and these the escalation against the Palestinian human rights organization and other organizations will continue since there is no kind of accountability. Since they are living under full impunity, they will continue their attacks. It becomes so clear that as much as we are active and effectiveness, there is more and more attacks against these organizations. So they would like to silence us. We'll never give up. We'll continue to do our work. We'll continue to expose the Israeli policies, asking for justice for Palestinian children, asking for accountability. Without accountability system, international accountability system, crimes will continue us in the ground and against also those who are trying to defending the children, and especially when we talk about the human rights defenders. Thank you.
That was Khaled Qusmar with Defense for Children International Palestine, one of the six organizations labeled by Apartheid Israel as a terrorist organization. He was speaking at an event organized by the Cairo Institute for Human Rights Studies on October 4, 2021. Shortly, we will continue listening to more remarks delivered at that event. But a reminder that KPFT, Houston's community station, is currently in fund drive, and because KPFT relies on your support to operate, I am asking you to please call us right now and make a tax-deductible contribution. Please give online at kpft.org or call 713-526-5738. You're listening to Arab Voices, coming to you from the studios of KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM, since 2002. This is Saeed, executive producer and host of Arab Voices. Let's continue listening to more remarks delivered at the event organized by the Cairo Institute for Human Rights Studies, held on October 4, 2021, titled Palestine, Restricting Civic Space, Urgent Response Needed to Address Israel's Escalation of Attacks on Palestinian Human Rights Defenders. Let's listen now to Sahar Francis, director of Ad-Damir Prisoner Support and Human Rights Association, whom I've had on this show last month in September 2021. And you can, by the way, listen to that interview on our website, arabvoices.net.
Good afternoon, and thanks a lot for the Cairo Institute, and especially for Professor Lenk to join us today to discuss this very important topic of the attack on human rights defenders in the Palestinian context. And I think it's very, very important to highlight that the whole justice system, if we can call it justice system, I mean the military court system with the military orders, is the tool actually where the occupation is using intensively in order to maintain the oppression and the control over the Palestinian society, the whole society, including the Palestinian NGOs and human rights defenders, student movements, politicians, and every person who dares to criticize the occupation. And this is, should be considered not just as an apartheid, but I mean the occupation becomes illegal. It's very clear that the international community cannot tolerate anymore this situation where Israel is controlling in this way the Palestinian people and imposing on them all these violations and getting away without any accountability. And the example of the attack on the human rights NGOs and the human rights defenders is a very powerful example about how the state of Israel is using the law and the legal standards and the war against terror, and even using the international human rights law and international humanitarian law in order to justify their practices. So when they claim that Damir or DCI or health work committees or the agriculture work committees are illegal organizations or terrorist organizations, these allegations are based on secret information. And this is what happened with the health work committees and the agriculture work committees. Both organizations actually were declared back in January 2020 by the military governor of the occupied territories. He issued a military order that both organizations are illegal entities based on the secret information that he has. But this decision was never published for the Palestinian people. The two organizations were never aware about this fact that they were illegalized by the military governor. They claimed that they published these decisions in the like the textbook, the military order textbook, where they publish all these military orders. Of course, Palestinian public have no access to these textbooks. And when we discovered that both organizations were illegalized, a year and a half after, when they just arrested the accountant of the health work committees in March 2021, and they raided the offices of the health work committees, and they put they confiscated, of course, like in the case of a DCI, hard copies of files, financial files, and CDs and computers and so on. And they arrested another two ex-employees, including the lady who are responsible for the fundraising from the Spanish organizations. And they ended with arresting the director of the health work committees, Ms. Shaza Audi. So they implemented it retroactively, like they were allowing these employees in the health work committees to continue to work in the health work committees under the COVID in the health sector without being aware that they are violating the military order. If we wanna say that it's legal, but my theory is that the military governor has no right to declare about Palestinian NGOs as illegal, but this is the way how they are trying to undermine our work. So they ignored totally the fact that the health work committees have 11 health centers. They offer health care for the Palestinian community in all the different occupied territories, including in Gaza, in such a very difficult time of the COVID. When they arrested the employees, including, of course, Shada, the main arguments against them is being involved in money laundering and supporting terrorism by channeling money from the organization to the one of the political parties that, of course, since the beginning of the occupation, declared as illegal organization, in this case, the Popular Front for the Liberation of Palestine, where in the evidentiary level, in the file itself, there is no evidence at all about this process of channeling the money. There's no proof that the money was going from the organization to the PFLP. But this is the only way, actually, in order to criminalize our work as human rights organizations, either to argue, like in our case as a Damir, all this case against Salah Hamouri, our lawyer, to try to deport him, that Haya mentioned, and the imprisonment of other colleagues in the organization, the claims against board members or General Assembly members that they are affiliated with political organizations. Of course, all the political parties in Palestine are illegal. And this is how they are trying to associate us with terrorism, where on the official level, like, and it was reported by the High Commissioner in her report that was submitted last week to the meeting under the Human Rights Council, Israel replied officially that Damir is involved in the UN mechanisms, calling for boycott, divestment, and sanctions against Israel, and supporting the investigation of the ICC. But we're promoting the PFLP message. This is so ridiculous to argue that a human rights organization that is really seeking accountability on the level of the war crimes committed on a daily basis against prisoners and detainees in the occupied territory to be blamed, to be associated with terrorism. So on the specific case of Ms. Shada Oudi and the other human rights defenders, like Khitam Saafin, the director of the committees of the Palestinian Union Women Committees, as well, the evidence, and it's very important to highlight how the military court acts, actually, and how they base their arguments on secret information, on an expert report that was drafted. These experts are coming from the security service people. They drafted an opinion that was submitted to the court in order to analyze how the NGOs are associated with the PFLP, again, based on secret information. One of the evidences is a videotape taken from the YouTube channel of the NGO Monitor, the same Israeli organization that is attacking systematically and actually is behind all this smear campaign about the Palestinian NGOs. They are relying on one video that they shared against both Shada and Khitam, that they attended a public event in Ramallah where they claim that this is done by the PFLP. Why I should take this video as an accurate evidence? Why the court should rely on a video coming from a side like NGO Monitor? Does NGO Monitor becomes an objective side here? I mean, I'm giving these details in order to highlight how far is all the procedures that is taken in the military court against the organizations and the human rights defenders from being a fair trial procedures that we can trust. And this is why we were always, as a Damir, saying that you cannot take the decisions of the Israeli military court or the decisions of the Israeli military governor or even the decisions of the Israeli security minister based on secret information against Palestinians, whether individuals or NGOs, and take it as granted, because the purpose, the main purpose of all these decisions is to incriminalize our work, to undermine our work, to silence us, because it seems we are succeeding on highlighting their involvement in war crimes and crimes against humanity. And we are close to the point where maybe they fear that they will really be accountable. Like, I think what caused this intensifying of the attack against the Palestinian NGOs is the fact that the UN published the list, the blacklist of the NGO of the companies on the level of accountability, the decision maybe of the prosecutor in the ICC to open investigation, and all these cases where we succeed to be more close on the level of the divestment and the sanction. And this is why I think, and my message would be today, it's very, very essential that international human rights organizations, international entities in the UN level, or politicians from the diplomacy level, to attend these court hearings and to monitor what's going on these cases of the human rights defenders in order to afford more protection and to raise the voice against all these violations that are taking place. Thank you.
That was Sahar Francis, director of Ad-Damir Prisoner Support and Human Rights Association. Next, we will listen to the remarks of Michael Link, special rapporteur on the situation of human rights in the Palestinian territories occupied since 1967 for the United Nations Human Rights Council.
I have been asked to speak about the protections offered by international law in protecting the work done by human rights defenders. In recent years, human rights defenders in both Palestine and Israel who investigate the grave human rights situation in the occupied Palestinian territory have been facing a steadily shrinking space for their indispensable work. In my experiences with them, these Palestinian and Israeli human rights organizations and individuals have engaged in highly effective local, regional, and international advocacy and litigation, and they have acted as witnesses and ambassadors of conscience in reminding the world that the occupation is becoming ever more entrenched and ever more immutable. As a result of their effectiveness, human rights defenders, particularly Palestinian human rights defenders, have been subjected to a range of social media attacks and, alarmingly, physical attacks, incarcerations, and threats to their work and their lives and their safety. They've experienced sophisticated interference and toxic denunciations, particularly by Israeli political leaders, by the Israeli military, and by those who support the occupation within Israeli society, all aimed at silencing their voices, discouraging their supporters, and engendering an increasingly hostile public atmosphere. Well, what does international law have to say about this? Through the instruments of international law and formal declarations, the international community has created a legal and policy framework to protect the vital work of human rights defenders in advancing the cause of human rights globally, as well as in Palestine. Those legal protections are essential for four reasons. First, the work of human rights defenders is often the best and sometimes the only protection available to vulnerable and marginalized peoples. Second, the activities of human rights defenders are critical to ensuring that governments and private actors can be held accountable for their behavior, both to the citizenry and to the conscience of the world. Third, the actions of human rights defenders often place them in situations of danger and vulnerability with respect to their own rights and safety. And fourth, the condition of human rights in any country or occupation can often be effectively measured by the respect accorded in practice to human rights defenders. So, to protect human rights, there is a vital need for public authorities in any state, in any situation, to enact effective human rights legislation, to create an independent and impartial judiciary, to maintain the rule of law, to ensure that its military and police uphold human rights norms, and to encourage a positive public climate for human rights. However, any society also needs to have and to rely upon the indispensable work of civil society and human rights defenders. These defenders are the canary in the mine shaft. offering early warning alerts about rights that are in danger. These human rights defenders provide invaluable advocacy, independent and reliable analysis, effective protection, the courage to protest and oppose, and to offer both a progressive interpretation of existing rights and a vision of new rights in embryo. The work of human rights defenders in Palestine and in the rest of the world animates and enlarges the enjoyment of human rights for the rest of us. They are commonly our first voices for human rights and all too often our last line of defense. If their work is in jeopardy anywhere, we are all the more precarious and less secure. The rights and responsibilities that protect the work of human rights defenders has a special place in international law. Among other primary human rights instruments, the 1948 Universal Declaration of Human Rights and the 1966 International Covenant on Civil and Political Rights both proclaim the inalienable right, freedoms of opinion and expression, movement and peaceful assembly, and association. These fundamental instruments champion not only the human rights of all peoples, but also the activities of human rights defenders. And I should point out that Israel is a party to the 1966 covenant, having joined in 1991, and Palestine joined in 2014. In 1998, the UN General Assembly adopted by consensus the Declaration on the Right and Responsibility of Individuals, Groups, and Organs of Society to protect and promote universally recognized human rights and fundamental freedoms. I know that's a mouthful, and it's more commonly known as the Declaration on Human Rights Defenders. The purpose of the Declaration is to secure and to entrench the right of groups and individuals to defend human rights without fear or interference. While not a binding instrument in itself, the Declaration enshrines many of the principles and rights that have already been grounded in international law through other conventions and covenants. This Declaration on Human Rights Defenders imposes specific responsibilities on states, including primarily the protection, promotion, and implementation of all human rights. Specifically, the Declaration says that states are called upon to provide effective remedy to those whose rights have been violated, to promptly and impartially investigate alleged violations, and to promote public understanding of all human rights. It need not be emphasized that these protections and obligations apply equally to human rights defenders, even if they are openly critical of government entities, policies, or actions in the name of promoting and protecting human rights. None of these obligations are followed by Israel in the conduct of its occupation. Let me conclude with this. This 54-year-old occupation of the Palestinian territories, which becomes more pervasive by the day, with no end even remotely in sight, has been profoundly corrosive of human rights and democratic values. How could it be otherwise? To perpetuate an alien rule over 5 million people against their fervent wishes inevitably requires the repression of rights, the erosion of the rule of law, the abrogation of international commitments, the imposition of deeply discriminatory practices, the hollowing out of well-accepted standards of military behavior, the subjugation of the humanity of the other, the denial of trends that are plainly evident, the embrace of illiberal politics, and the scorning of those civil society organizations that raise uncomfortable truths about the disfigured state of human rights under this occupation. From the many reports issued by Palestinian, Israeli, and international human rights organizations, and by the United Nations, the government of Israel has been significantly deficient in honoring its obligations under the Declaration of Human Rights Defenders. Its treatment, in particular, of Palestinian human rights defenders who work on the vital issues arising from this occupation has been contrary to the basic guarantees of international human rights law. Nor am I sad to say that the situation is improving. As the occupation becomes further entrenched, and as Palestinian human rights defenders persist with their intrepid activism, to investigate and oppose the regime of human rights violations that is integral to the occupation. All indications are that they will continue to be the prime targets by those who are intolerant of the criticism, but alarmed by their effectiveness. Thank you very much.
That was Michael Lenk, Special Rapporteur on the Situation of Human Rights in the Palestinian Territories Occupied since 1967 for the United Nations Human Rights Council. He was speaking at an event organized by the Cairo Institute for Human Rights Studies on October 4, 2021. The six organizations labeled by Apartheid Israel as terrorist organizations held a press conference on October 23, 2021 in occupied Palestine. And here is what Sahar Francis, director of Ad-Damir Prisoner Support and Human Rights Association, mentioned at the conference.
So we are here today in order to declare about our position as Palestinian civil society organizations, not just the six organizations who were designated as terror organizations, but in general as civil society in the Palestinian occupied territories. We reject this decision. Of course, we will not fulfill the decision. We will remain in our offices and we will do our daily work as we used to do for decades now in protecting our people's rights. Of course, we admire and thank all those who were already since yesterday showing their support, and they issued statements in support and solidarity with this with the call of the civil society as well. We ask all the activists and the supporters and the officials, mainly the officials as well, whether from the UN level or the state level as well, not to take this decision in consideration in their relation with the Palestinian civil society, not to abide to the decision and to continue their support. And most importantly is not to enable the occupation to feel that they succeeded in their long-term campaign that they were initiating against the Palestinian civil society in different ways. This decision was a conclusion of so many steps that they were trying in the past, in the several years, in order to affect the work and the important work of the Palestinian civil society, especially in the international level, in seeking accountability via the UN systems or via the International Criminal Court. And all these developments that took place, especially in the last year, the decision of the International Criminal Court prosecutor to initiate the investigation. The fact that they established in the Human Rights Council a special permanent committee to investigate the Israeli practices, the switch in the paradigms to use colonization and apartheid, this is worrying the occupation, and we see this development as a continuity to affect our and to silence us mainly. Thank you.
That was Sahar Francis with Ad-Damir organization. By the way, the first guest that appeared on Arab Voices, this program, on the first show that aired in April 2002, over 19 years ago, was Hanan Elmaso, who was at that time a member of the Board of Trustees of Ad-Damir. So Israel's classification of the six Palestinian non-governmental civic society organizations as terrorist organizations has generated anger and backlash from around the globe. Congresswoman Ilhan Omar said, "Labeling effective NGOs terrorists is a textbook way to evade accountability for human rights violations and an affront to everyone who cares about peace. There must be immediate consequences from the U.S. and the international community for this brazen act." Congresswoman Rashida Tlaib said, "The apartheid regime's labeling of award-winning human rights groups as terrorist organizations, just because they speak truths about Israel's violence and its human impact, is grossly anti-democratic and dangerous. The U.S. must end funding for human rights abuses. Enough." Congressman Andrei Carson said, "I strongly oppose Israel's blanket decision to shut down 6 prominent Palestinian human rights organizations doing important humanitarian work in the region. Human Rights Watch and Amnesty International, who work closely with many of the groups, said in a joint statement, "This appalling and unjust decision is an attack by the Israeli government on the international human rights movement. We are proud to work with our Palestinian partners and have been doing so for decades. They represent the best of global civil society. We stand with them in challenging this outrageous decision." Congresswoman Biri McCollum issued a statement saying, "I condemn this action to shut down legitimate civil society organizations advocating for Palestinian human rights. This is nothing more than an attempt to silence supporters of Palestinian rights. It is anti-democratic and contrary to the values expected of a U.S. ally. I urge the Biden administration to immediately call upon the Israeli government to reverse their decision and restore these organizations' ability to continue their important work. For years, I have worked with Defense for Children International Palestine to protect the rights of Palestinian children who are imprisoned in Israeli military detention facilities. I trust and value the Defense for Children International Palestine's work advancing human rights. I stand with Amnesty International in challenging this decision." And 21 Israeli human rights organizations issued a statement saying, "We stand with our Palestinian colleagues against the draconian measure to criminalize prominent civil society organizations. The international community must unequivocally oppose this decision." It is so ironic that apartheid Israel, that has been terrorizing millions of Palestinians for a very long time and on a daily basis, is labeling Palestinian non-governmental civic society organizations as terrorist organizations. Who is the terrorist here? The occupier or the occupied? You're listening to Arab Voices, coming to you from the studios of KPFT Houston 90.1 FM since 2002. This is Saeed, executive producer and host of Arab Voices. I want to take a minute to remind you that KPFT is currently in membership drive, and your financial support is essential to the continued growth of KPFT, this commercial-free community radio station, because KPFT relies on you, the listeners, for support. So please consider a contribution today by calling 713-526-5738 or make that pledge online at kpft.org. How about a pledge of $120? That translates into $2.30 per week, less than the cost of a cup of coffee. Think about it. For $2.30 a week contribution, you listen to what KPFT brings the greater Houston area, a wealth of local and national programs 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Please make that call, 713-526-5738, and support your commercial-free community radio station. And that does it for the show today. Thanks for listening. This is Saeed, executive producer and host of Arab Voices. Until we meet next week, peace on earth.